Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. How are you this evening? This is Marcia, and I'm here with Janet.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm like, wait a minute, did I lose this somewhere?
I am here.
How are you this evening?
Well, I'm here, and I'm glad I'm here. And we welcome everybody to Spiritual Perceptions, and this is another full moon, although it was ushered in last night. It was ushered in Aries, which is a, astrologically speaking, is a very intense energy for boldness. So if you need to break a habit or you need to go on a diet, you can be bold right now and it'll work. But there is a catch-22 here. We need to be careful not to get into heated battles because we could get burned. It could get really, really hot. So the energy that is now present with the emotional intensity of a full moon could create great change for us. So that's where we want to work. And what does that have to do with dreams? Well, dreams are activated by our mental thoughts. So this is a good time to know that we can get some bold energy and make this thing happen. We have to do our part. The universe has done its part. We have to do our part. So, and we can live a lot better and more victorious lives now. So that's what we want to focus on tonight. And there will be some shock waves and some surprises and some overall unsettled energies will be evident over the next few days with last night's entry into the full moon and the sun making its yearly opposition to Uranus. So tonight, healing energy and nurturing energy is possible. So it's a good time for meditation and reflection following. So why don't we just have a little prayer here and we speak to the great spirit of the universe, the Holy Spirit. As our guide tonight, we ask that you touch our minds and hearts with your wisdom and speak words of wisdom to each and every person that we encounter with. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now we'll have just a moment of silence where you can see yourself in white light or just be at peace. Oh, wow, I needed that. Needed to get
centered. Just a deep breath in and deep breath out for two or three times. You get that recharge.
Needed to get centered. Yeah.
You get that recharge.
So, the sun squares Pluto today, which is also battling with Uranus and Pluto. And our part in it is not to fall victim to doubt, worry, and fear. Now, all three of these little bad boys, doubt, worry, and fear, are oppositions to our dream. You know, if we have a dream or we set a goal for something and we doubt that we can have it, your subconscious mind is just not going to give it to you because it obeys you, doesn't edit wrong thinking. So all of these three energies block our dreams.
One of my favorite authors, one of his big sayings is thoughts become things. So, you know, when you have that dream and you let fear and doubt and everything move in on it, then all you're doing is building that negative energy to keep pushing it away instead of bringing it to you.
That's true. And, okay, I took a metaphysical class from when I learned the treatise on light rays with, and, you know, the author of that was Alice Bailey. I took a class in it at the Temple of Light in Long Beach, and our instructor said, you know, if you pray and ask God for a vacation, go out and buy the luggage. You got to start as though things, even though they don't appear to be there, you got to start acting like it's going to be there. Our job, our number one job is to believe. You're asking God for a dream. You'll get that dream if you believe you'll get it. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Looks like, Marcia, we have a switchboard one caller on the line.
Okay, I'm not showing anything here.
Here we go with this.
Please be gentle with us. We are still trying to get this switchboard thing down, and right now it
looks
like...
Novices on the switchboard. You want me to try? Will you hit the little phone thing?
Well,
no,
do you have two numbers up there? Do you have two numbers up there?
No, I think it's just that you and I are on. You call me, so we'll just keep track of that. Okay, so first of all, if your dream is to be successful... This is just as an analogy. Okay, so your dream is to be successful, but you have poor self-image. So how far do you think your dream will get?
Far. It's not going to get very far.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, and if you look at it like dreams versus reality, you can look no further than my son. I mean, right now... His dream is to help find cures for cancer. You know, he spent his internship working with a research center that deals with breast cancer, and his work is going to be published. But right now the reality of it is he works at a grocery store. You know.
Well, never despise small beginnings, because you can... look back, I've listened, was it Rod Parsley, who was one of the biggest media ministers, and I consider him a spiritual mentor. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I do like him because he, you know, when the hurricane hit New Orleans, he was there before FEMA was there.
Well,
he was there with his trucks distributing food. And none of us are perfect, and there's probably things we don't like about people, but... You know, he does a lot of good work, and he stands up and he fights for our constitutional rights through his one of his sites. He's got moral clarity, and so you know, I look at what people do. You know, not so much their personality or what they look like or any of that. If they do charitable things, that means a lot to God, so it means a lot to me. And that's how I look at it. But he started out with something like 8 people in a garage. Look at him now. He's got this block-long World Harvest Church, World Harvest School, Ministry School, and, you know, just all these things. And, he said that it was above his dream. All this was above his dream. And the scripture tells us that God will give us more than we can even think about or comprehend. So you got to hang in there with your little dream and then get on up and you get more.
Well, that's why, you know, the saying dream big is important, because that dream will come to you. My son hasn't given up on his dream job. He knows it's out there. And he's still looking for it, but at the same time, he knows he has to eat. So he works where he can get a job.
That's it. And that's very true with a lot of people today. I talk to people all over the place on Keene, and then I get church calls from, you know, different all walks of life. And I've talked to several people who've taken major step downs. They go, half a loaf of bread's better than no bread. So they're taking jobs beneath their training. You know, they're overqualified. But, you know, half a loaf of bread's better than no bread, right?
Well, as long as you keep your dream in mind as you're doing what's necessary, as you're dealing with the reality of your situation, then, you know, you'll continue to bring that dream to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like the song says, don't worry, be happy. You know, turn it over and let it go. Let the universe do its work.
Well, you know, people say, have you ever heard people say, I'm not going to get my hopes up?
Right.
Well,
and that's the worst thing they can do. Yeah, we should build them way up there.
Yeah. To hope is to look up. And that means to have expectation. Expectation is a big factor. You know, like Reverend Ushery at the Temple of Light said, if you're going to ask God for a vacation, go get the luggage. By going and getting that luggage, you're demonstrating that you're expecting to go on vacation. So we have to act in that realm. We have to work with that realm. You know, people think that our thoughts and our don't mean anything and our words don't mean anything. Our words are powerful. In Proverbs, it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, so what you speak over yourself, what you say, you know, then again, there's that subconscious mind. It doesn't edit anything. If a person goes around saying they're going to be a bag lady, they're going to end up being a bag lady because it's going to create it for you. It doesn't edit wrong thinking. So we need to get our hopes up no matter what. In the book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse 7 says, that they might set their hope in God. Put your hope in an unfailing God. Not people. People disappoint you, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Things happen in life that people disappoint you, like sudden death, sudden illnesses, sudden money losses. You know, life is full of anything to do with life being human is temporal, subject to change. You know, you can give a reading to somebody, and that's what it's destined to do. And then somebody, another energy moves into the scene, say like a new VIP comes in and says, no, we're changing that. So then it gets diverted off into a different area.
That's the thing that people don't understand when they get a reading. The reading is based on the energy at that very moment.
Yes.
And energy, one thought, one wrong thought that they have about that could bring about a whole change in the energy around the situation.
That's it. That's opposing yourself. There again, you're opposing yourself. You can go to church, you hear this sermon on something, and you just go out all motivated, get in the car. Somebody says something to you and you're into that negative stance and then disbelieving and then go, well, it didn't work for me. It didn't work because you didn't believe it didn't work.
We're almost
enemies. We need to get out of our own way. We do.
The biggest thing we need to do is learn to think differently.
That's it.
And that's a hard thing for people to do. You need to learn to speak differently. Again, something's very hard to do. I have spent some time with a couple of people trying to help them to look up and change that in themselves. You know, even though there have been a number of hardships in my life, you know, I explained to this person the other day, I said, you know, they're like, how can you be so happy? How can you smile? I said, well, you know, I'm not always like this. I said, I do have my moments, but I get up every day and I look in the mirror and I say, today I choose to be happy. Doesn't mean something bad's not going to happen that I ain't going to have to deal with, but it means that today I'm going to do my best, and when my thoughts go negative, I'm going to think about my dreams so that I can bring them to me as opposed to push them away from me and taking myself to those dreams that I have for my life and for my kids. It changes my perspective from that negative back into a positive.
Well, you know, the scripture teaches us that we are to take a hold of, you know, negative thoughts are going to come and go. And years ago, back in meditation class, they said, well, they're going to come in, just don't hold on to anything. What you hold on to is what you're going to create. But the scripture teaches us to take those thoughts captive. In other words, if the thought comes in, and this is the enemy of our soul's greatest tool. Well, you're disabled, you're down and out, you don't have this, you don't have that, you need to get your teeth fixed. Goes on and on. You take that thought captive and you replace it with a positive affirmation. I use the Word of God, or I use affirmations. It's all going to help to change, because what you speak over yourself is what you're going to create. So I would take that thought captive and say, Philippians 4:19, or say, "My God will supply all my needs through His riches and glory." All your needs would be all your needs. He all is all inclusive, healing, financial, all of it, all of that. "My God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." When Jesus was in the wilderness, He immediately got up from that baptism and went straight into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days of the evil one. And how did He respond to him? With positive statements about the Word of God. He used Scripture. Satan told him, if you're the Son of God, cast these stones and make them into bread. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He repeated back to him. That's how he overcame him. That's how we overcome him. You know, he's defeated, but he comes through our minds. He comes through our minds and he'll say, "Oh, this relationship isn't going to work. Look what's happening. He's not even calling you, or she's not even calling you, not paying you any mind." You know, and then you start dwelling in that area. Bingo, he can manifest it. We have to take those thoughts captive and believe, get our hopes up, and keep them up.
Well,
1 John 3:3 says to fix your hope on God, and it will purify you. Fix means to remain, to attach, or be glued. Glue your hopes on God. He will not disappoint you. And that's not an easy thing to do, because as humans, we look at reality. We look at the appearance of things and how it looks. Well, we have to do that to survive. You know, we were talking in church, I think, last Sunday, and somebody said, "I walk by faith and not by sight." And I said, "Except at traffic lights." Just throw a little humor in there. But that's true. We have to not work by the way it looks, but have faith higher than that and start speaking good things over ourselves.
Well, while you were talking, I was looking up a saying that I had seen online, and I can't tell you who the author of it is, but it's about hopes and keeping your hopes up. So some affirmations that you can pull out of here, but I'll read the whole saying if everybody will kind of bear with me. My speech is a little impaired at the moment. "My hopes are up. I eliminate the notion of lowering my expectations. I refuse to accept people's advice to not get my hopes up. I get my hopes up now, and I keep them up. I expect God's promises to come to pass in my life today. I expect good to come to my life today, in my family, in my home, in my church, in my job, in my relationships, in my body, and in my finances. I expect ideas, favor, and wisdom. I look up, expecting to receive the best of what God has for me today. Faith and love are keeping my hope alive and will protect me from disappointment. I have I have unlimited and unhindered hope and expectations. In Jesus' name, amen."
That's a positive affirmation. And you're speaking that. When you're speaking that over yourself, the inner ear is where the spirit, you know, the inner ear is where the spirit grabs that. So when you're speaking these words over yourself and you're hearing it, you're hearing yourself, the own sound of your voice, you're hearing it. You're taking it in, not only to your subconscious mind, but to your spirit. So that's what we need to do. It's like one of my favorite reference books that I give to people, especially if they're having a lot of emotional turmoil in their life, is called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die, and the author is Carol Truman, spelled with a K. And so in this book, there's a little script that you read about taking, and it's actually a form of taking thoughts captive. It talks to the spirit, superconscious, "Please locate the origin of my feeling thoughts of inferiority or insecurity or lack or any of those. And take each and every level, an area, an aspect of this being to the origin, analyze it, and resolve it permanently with God's truth." And then you say this other affirmation. Then you replace it with something positive. And it gives you, you can look up in the back anything that you may be experiencing. And it gives you a positive affirmation to say to replace that. So let's find one here. Let's use non-acceptance. That's a low self-esteem. You would say, after you got through the first part, you would say, I am accepting, I'm allowing an open and loving acceptance of myself. I'm enough, exceptional, worthy, and important. That's what you need to speak over yourself instead of, okay, people get caught up on, and this is another favorite trick of the enemy, is self-condemnation. It is a spirit, and that spirit will work at keeping you low. It's going, you're not worthy. You know, and a lot of people who are in dysfunctional, abusive relationships, and a person tells them, you know, you're stupid, you're this. You know, after you hear that for so long, you begin to believe it. That's why the opposite works. As you hear and you speak these positive things over yourself, you'll begin to believe it. And when you begin to believe it, then bingo, it's manifested.
Well, you know, that's why you always keep your hopes up and you look for those big dreams. You know, those pipe dreams that everybody tells you they are. Create those pipe dreams for yourself. I mean, seriously.
I think you just try, okay, to our listeners out there, just try one small little goal, like The Secret says. Just start with something little that you want to see manifested, and then do this little exercise and believe that you're going to receive it. And as you get, you know, that'll give you security, and then you can work for bigger things. Just like what is Donald Trump's famous saying is, you're going to think, you might as well think big, right?
Exactly.
So for people out there, our call-in number is 646-378-1297.
Thank you for listening to us tonight. Again, I'm Marcia, and I'm here with... I always lose her here. I'm here with Janet. That's supposed to be your cue to take it away, girl.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess maybe you need a minute.
For those of you who missed last show, Marcia and I, just to reiterate, we covered some of the candle burning aspects to help people achieve their dreams. And you know, God, Jesus said when he left here, one thing I ask of you, that you love one another. So we love one another by helping, you know, we've been there, done that kind of thing. So kind of help another person over that hurdle. And I'm here to tell you that what you make happen for someone else, God will make happen for you. So if we set out, we're here tonight to try to help you accomplish your dreams. We're trying to give you some of the areas in which we block our dreams. And the one real biggie I want to talk about tonight is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness blocks your blessing. Blocks your dreams, blocks your blessings, blocks everything. And I know it's hard. I know it's very hard. We can think of some atrocious things and say, well, how can you forgive that? You know, well, by not forgiving it, you're harboring resentment, which will go into bitterness. And our medical scientists today are determining, they're catching up with this naturopathy thing and this healthy, but most of all practitioners agree that most diseases are caused from internal turmoil, bitterness, anger, resentment. And those things keep you stuck. They keep you stuck in that lifestyle. The enemy of our souls doesn't want you to be happy, so he'll create something. He creates a little fire over here and gets you distracted putting that one out while he creates another one over here. And he's constantly trying to keep us off balance. And we have to learn to, okay, it's like I tell the kids when they start getting whiny or start crying or irritable? Are you tired? Are you hungry? Those are things, you know, that usually stimulate that kind of behavior. So, and it's the same with us. You know, are we angry? You know, and where does anger stem from? The root cause of anger is fear. Fear that person isn't, fear it isn't going to happen, fear that you're rejected, all these things that, that the enemy wants us to believe. But we need to get above that and know that you are loved by God and that he has a plan for you, and that plan for you is nothing but the best. But we have to, as the Course in Miracles teaches, we have to get through the illusion of life, the illusion of reality, the illusion of I've got this pain in my body. It's still there. I prayed, but it's still there. Well, you have to believe that God is going to heal you, and you'll start seeing, and you start speaking positive things over yourself. You start, your body starts responding to that. Subconscious mind responds to that, and you'll see yourself. Healing is a process. I mean, instant healings and things that we see, like with Benny Hinn and media ministers that go to these other countries and all these people come there. Like, those are for the unbelievers. Those miracles are for unbelievers, not for the believers.
Well, it's like a lot of people think, like with a reading or with having someone burn candles for you, you know, to help you with a situation, they think, well, okay, that's all. It's done. It's going to be the way it is, but then they turn around and they change the energy with the thoughts that they have, and they start the worry process all over.
Mm-hmm.
So the time spent with meditating, you know, with meditating with your candles, trying to to get to this place, you know, it takes work on both my part and the part of the person. But, I mean, like I said, you can learn to do these things yourself, but having the help of someone sometimes helps to bring it in, but you have to keep your thoughts on the positive. And you have to let the universe do its thing. But like we talked in the last show, we were talking about the candle burning, and it seems like everybody thinks, okay, well, I'm having somebody do this for me, so I don't have to deal with it, and then they go out and mess themselves up, you know, because they didn't set and bring in the fear and the worry and everything. The candle burning is supposed to help you be positive. And you have to know you have that positive in your corner. You know, it's like somebody having your back, because they do. It's the universe. But then you turn around and wake up and say, okay, you know, ain't nothing going to happen. It's going to be like it was. What happened to the dream?
Exactly. And you just deleted it. You know, you got to... Actually, the computer was formed off, the brain is like a computer, okay? And what you put into it, that's what you're going to create. You know, your world
right.
is, you know, I've talked to people where they, you know, think that they're not worthy. They're not worthy. They've been treated badly all their life. They don't know anything else, you know, and you have to step out of that. You have to refuse to live like that. You have to say enough is enough. And you have to call upon the Spirit of God to connect to your spirit. See, your spirit connects to your soul. Your soul has to be healed. Your soul has to be restored. And once it's restored, and that's a process, it connects with the spirit, and the spirit and the soul together bring the body into. Then we become shalom, a wholeness. We become whole. And it's a process. It's a process.
Well,
and people get... sometimes
when,
they can't get out of it. Yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, when you think about it, you know, the Bible teaches us too that we're all part of one body. Well, that's what we call the universe. You know, God is the head. So that's the brains of the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he doesn't have the negative thoughts.
That's why I'm not God, because I would have lost patience at some point with some things. I admit that. That's why, you know, I have to, you know, we're all a work in progress. The scripture says that we are a work in progress until the second coming. And that means that, you know, you're not perfect. And the scripture says what sins you retain, you retain. The Apostle Paul entreated God on three occasions to some sort of thorn in the flesh, some sort of secret sin that he had or issue or something he was struggling with. And God's response to him is, my grace is sufficient for you. And his grace is sufficient for us. People say, well, these people are so-called Christians, and but they don't change. Well, we can't change until we renew our mind. Romans chapter 12 says, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? One, you take these negative thoughts captive, you replace them with something positive. And out of the word works, the word will work quicker than anything. But positive affirmations of any kind is going to start making the change. Instead of thinking that you're not worthy, you need to think that you're cherished and loved, because you are. If people just realize how much God really loved them, it would be such a different thing. He is so good, and the author of good. He's the root and foundation of pure, undefiled love. And everybody say that, how many people say they want love, but yet they fear it? I don't know how that compute on the same level. I really don't. I don't know how that could compute.
Or that they're afraid they're going to get hurt.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, it comes into your life.
But to take that fear into a relationship, you know, that just makes it that much worse. You know, you take that fear into the relationship and you're pushing that negative energy into it before it starts. I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. Okay. So make it happen. Go into a relationship, I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. And that's what happens. You wind up getting hurt.
Because you created it.
Then yeah, you created it.
Mind doesn't need edit. It's get hurt. And it goes about to set that into place. Get hurt. And
well, Janet, I don't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. We have someone with us from the 334 area code. See if they'd like to jump on it and say something to us. Hello, you're on the air.
Me?
Yes.
Hi.
How are you doing this
Welcome
evening?
Welcome to Spiritual Perceptions, Mary Jo.
Thank you. I'm a little late. I've been trying to find it on my computer, and I just evidently am inept with the computer, but I finally just thought I'd call in. How are you ladies doing this evening?
We're
fine. Doing well, Mary Jo, and how about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. But
so
as
what
I said,
what's your dream? Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
Well, you know, I just caught the last few minutes, and yes, I agree. A lot of people, including myself, having gone through the experiences I have, there is a lot of fear. And the thought of going into another relationship, yes, there is fear. Therefore, I would create it. I'm working on that. But
well, again, we're all works in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely. And I'm the first to agree that I am definitely a work in progress. But thanks to Janet, I have come a long way. And quite frankly, I don't know what I would have done without her. So that being said, I would like to hear more of what you ladies have been saying.
Well, first of all, Jesus put me into your life. He's the one that deserves the glory. He gives me the wisdom. Our prayer before we started was to give us the words, the wisdom for his people. And it was his idea that I do this show. And he told me he wanted me to do it for people that oppose themselves. And I said, I'm the biggest opposer that ever came down. Precisely, that's why you're going to do the show.
Well, and yeah. she got
we
me
teach
on
what
board.
We need to learn.
She got me on board, and I was kind of shy about it. And she's like, "Oh, come on, you can do this." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So here I am. That's what you do when you have a friend with a good idea. You jump on board.
I agree. She's had many good ideas for me, and God bless her. And I've told her many times, without you, I could have done none of this. She has taken me by the scruff of the neck and gotten me out of the problem areas I had been in. And as she said, God led her to me, but God led me to her. So.
Yeah, that's the way I feel, too. That's
yes.
the way I feel, too,
well,
Mary
thank
Joseph.
You, guys. My head's swelling.
Well,
now,
God,
you know,
God bless you because you deserve
means
it.
God's graciousness. And and somebody said to me one time, you know, not everybody's friendly. Somebody said, well, you think you're the giver? I said, well, that's what my name means, so yeah, I probably do. You know, I learned to laugh things off, you know. But... see, we got to realize that we tend, as human beings, to have problem-focused mentality. It means we focus on the illness, we focus on the appearance of things, we focus on the problem. And we have to learn that those are shadows of fear and worry and sickness and doubt. That's what... And when God saw darkness, he said, let there be light. And the light then cast out the darkness. And as we work on this and work on our first thing, you know, is not to be shy. A lot of people will stay stuck because they don't want to deny they have a problem. They don't want to deny that they want to deny that they want to take the easy route that they can't do this.
Well, but I mean, that's an ownership issue, Janet, and
yeah,
we don't find that in just the negative things. You know, we find it in everything. You know, nobody wants to take ownership for anything. So if you're not going to take ownership for your actions, then how can you take ownership for who you are?
You know, as when my children are young, I always told them, take responsibility for your actions. Always take responsibility. And well, I feel there's a good word in that. Always take responsibility.
Well, I've always taught my sons that to be a man of your word is the best possible thing that you could do.
Yes.
So if you do something, you stand up and say, yeah, I did it. I'm willing to accept the consequences for my actions.
Yeah.
You know, that'll prove the character of who you are.
I agree.
And, you know, with things in this country today, I've taught my son also that, you know, You shouldn't look at people. The area that we live in is predominantly one race. And I told him he went to a college that was much more diverse. And I told him, I said, you have to look at people as people. And, you know, it took a little adjustment for him. But when he looked at it with that mentality, he's like, yeah, Mom. He's like, that's the way you have to do it. You have to look at people as people and then base their character on the things that they do. And that's why I told him, that's why it's so important, you know, to own up and take responsibility for your actions. But when you don't, you haven't even owned up and been responsible for who you are.
Yes.
Yes.
Very important.
Well, some people get scared because of the consequences that for their actions look really scary. For instance, the prisoner, you know, once he gets in, he or she gets locked up and they're in there for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, it dawns on them what they've done. And then, but you have to be able to not deny. You know, people are always, well, this caused me to do that, or that caused me, the devil made me do it. You know, all these excuses. But we have to train our mind to look for solutions instead of trying to escape it or trying to deny it, because as long as you do that, you're going to be stuck. Accepting the fact that you have a weakness or a responsibility for your action is 50% of the battle. That's 50% of winning the battle. And you need to see your problem that you're facing as a pathway to your promotion. Once you solve it, you'll be one step closer to God's greatness for your life. And we have to just, you know, not deny it. Denial is a bad thing, denial. And we have to, God has treasures reserved for us. And he wants a close relationship with each and every one of us. He wants a close relationship with his creation, with his children. And we are children of the Most High God when we accept him and are connected to him. And we have to know that we're a work in progress, and that we're going to, if we refuse to look at things, you know, that's why observing yourself is very important. Observe yourself, how you react to stuff, to see the real, you know, then you'll soon understand why things are there. You can find something that maybe goes way back in your childhood, and you created that response mechanism, how you're going to respond, you know. It's like I told Athena today, I said, I can't understand you when you're whining, because I can't, you know, she's like, I said, you have to communicate with me and we'll talk. And she's getting good about it now. She comes and talks to me about it instead of whining. But whining was what she created as a response to get what she wanted. And we're all guilty of those. I mean, it starts early in childhood, right?
Yes.
You can even see it in the little baby.
Absolutely, yes. But so they're precious.
And we need to work on ourselves, and we work on ourselves by observing ourselves. You know, what created you to get irritable? What was the stimulus? What's really bothering you? I loved it. I watched a sermon with Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he's talking about men's emotions versus women's emotions and how we process them differently. And he goes, you come home from work, you walk in the house, and she's all ticked off with you because you haven't mowed the lawn. So you go out and mow the lawn and come back in and ask some change, because that really wasn't the problem. That was not the root of the problem. There was something else that was bothering her. That was just the focal point that was used to act the way they wanted to have people do that. It's like a person that wants to go out and doesn't want to be with their mate, so they'll create a fight so they feel justified in what they're doing. That's all forms of manipulation, and we do it, and we have to observe ourselves. And once you catch yourself doing that, then you can change that behavior. So,
well, but that's you have to catch yourself doing it. You have to own it.
Yeah, exactly. There. Thank you, Marcia. You have to catch yourself doing it and own it. Own the responsibility for it. But like I said, we're all a work in progress, and this is about us learning to take the higher road. We have to understand that we are valuable. That's a lot of people don't realize that they're valuable. A lot of people don't realize that they're a spirit. And the value is determined by how much someone would do for you. And Jesus demonstrated that by dying for us and giving us that connection. And he is the way. Oh, it just came up on the screen, Marcia. There's a problem. Hello?
Well, I'm here.
Hang on. I'm going to go change phones. Maybe my phone's going dead.
Okay.
Did we lose Marcia?
I think maybe so, but you've got me, right?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I guess try and find Marcia.
Yeah, she'll probably have to call back in. I'm going to switch phones anyway, see if that doesn't help. Are you there still? Hello?
I am.
Okay.
Marcia, come back.
We are still learning this system, and we apologize for any technical difficulty here.
Yeah, I was having some technical difficulty.
There she is.
There she is. Okay.
I hit the wrong button on the phone.
Okay.
Disconnected myself.
Too. That's great.
See, I'm owning it.
You own it? Did you own it?
I'm owning it.
Okay, cool. So, and see, that's why I tell people all the time, that's why they put erasers on pencils is because we can make a mistake, and we have to just take it with a grain of salt, you know? Overcome it, and you can't overcome it if you harbor resentment that you won't accept that you can make a mistake.
Right now, I'm holding resentment against somebody in my family.
Okay.
That is hurting my son quite a bit. And it's hard, but I am definitely working on letting go, forgiving, and it's very hard. It's very hard to get a hold on this. But I'm working on it.
You know, I think most people that know me know that I have a severely disabled adult daughter that was a victim in society. And I walked out on the church. I stopped believing and kind of entered into a dark stage during that time. And I think R.T. Kendall's book on total forgiveness, because he had a similar situation, both of our children were molested, and how he had to go face the person that did this to his daughter. And, you know, I think that was probably the hardest transition I ever went through. It's like, how can I forgive this? And then, you know, people would say to me, how can a loving God allow all these things to go on in the world? God has completed the work. We need to enter into his finished work. The rest of this is the ways of the world. This is the, you know, he gave us free will. He can't take it back and break his own laws. So if you understand that your unforgiveness is not going to hurt the person that you're angry at or that you're any of those things, that it's only going to hurt you as a person, and it's going to block your blessings. And I know some of these things look like, how in the world can we forgive that? Well, those people are going to answer for what they did. God will not be mocked. You will reap as you sow. If they do terrible things to hurt people, terrible things are going to happen to them as a result. And there's a lot of justifiable anger in the world when you see the abuses of children, the abuses of the system. You know, and we get angry at people that take money from other people to feather their own nest or whatever they're doing. But as long as we stay focused on that, we're going to keep that in our environment. We have to let, it doesn't mean you have to be anybody's doormat or take abuse from anyone. You have the right to get away from that. You have the right to get away. God doesn't want you to be abused. but you have to forgive it and let it go, and you have to clear it out of your aura, or you'll just attract a different face and a different name to do the same thing again.
That's keeping that negative energy in.
Yeah, you're holding
on to it. That's why you have to own it, and then you have to deal with it.
And then let it go.
Right. Then you have to release that energy.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're going to forget it. You know, everybody says forgive and forget. We're human. Let's be real. We're not going to forget. Not for a while. You can forgive it. And you can pray for that person. You can ask others to help you if you really feel that you're in the right and they need that or they want that. But at the same time, you know, until it's owned, it's forgiven, and it's released, that negative is going to hang with you.
Mm-hmm. But I have learned that you can... okay, be wronged, whatever. You can forgive, but you don't have to have that person, that experience, still around you. You can forgive, but you don't have to keep it around you.
Right, right.
Which feels good, knowing that, I think.
Okay,
well, the person
that's hurting your son has obviously got some deep, rooted bitterness or
rage. Yeah.
Yeah. That there is a spirit of rage. And it could be a defeatist attitude, a defeated person, and they kind of lash out. So we have to understand. I'll tell you another good incident. When I was very young, I was working in the emergency room, and they brought in this baby about 16 months old, had a pencil shoved right through its eye, all the way into the head, almost up to where the eraser was. So it was well in there.
Wow.
And I took the baby into the emergency room, and we were calling for an ophthalmologist, and upon undressing this child, we could see there were burns in the creases, behind the knees, under the armpit, all sensitive areas. There were round burn marks. And the mother came in, and she began to react when this child started crying. Shut her up. I can't stand this screaming. And started to attack right there. And I was just as guilty. I lost my cool. I grabbed her. I pushed her up against the wall, had her up against the wall, was ready to clean her clock, you know, when a doctor came up behind me and he goes, aren't you studying to be a minister? And he said, you're in the nursing program as well? And I said, yeah. He said, well, don't you understand that this person is very ill and needs help? And, yeah, this is an atrocity, and this child doesn't deserve to be victimized like this thing taken out on her. But she's just very, very ill, so you need to help her as well as we need to help this child. And it made me think, you know, I was reacting out of anger, the anger towards an innocent child that can't defend itself, and I was here to defend, right? So, but I had also learned that that other person needed as much help as that child did. And that's something you got to think about.
Yes.
It's like these people who disagree with our lifestyles here in the United States of America. They disagree in women being educated. They disagree in the way we live, the way we dress, and they hate us for it. Do you think that's right? No. I got a live and let live policy. You know, worship your God, I'll worship my God. I'm not going to fight with you about it.
Well, you educate, you dress however you want to, but don't be angry because I don't want to.
Don't blow us up because we want to go to school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in a lot of other countries, they don't seem to have that keep up with the Joneses mentality and put themselves in the kind of debt that we here do. But again, that's a dreams versus reality. If you want to keep up with the Joneses and not be in debt up to your eyeballs or above, then, you know, you need to work on manifesting these things in your life without going into debt for them. And that means that you're going to have to stop the way you think and stop the way you talk, and or at least be cognizant enough about it to change that negative into a positive, and you can keep up with the Joneses and not be dirt poor doing it.
You know, and then another thing people have trouble with, too, that they beat themselves up so bad over is they can't forgive themselves. They're focused on, we talked about that earlier, focused on what they've done. Again, it's where your focal point is. But if you realize that Jesus took everything on, your past, your present, and your future sins at Calvary, and before Calvary, he started it in the garden when he sweat great drops of blood, then at the whipping post, then the crown of thorns, then at the wounds that he incurred being put on the cross. He took on all the sins of the world on him so that we could be connected back. And it was God's plan for him to do this. He even took on the wrath of God from the Old Testament on that cross so that God could be nothing but loving to us now in total forgiveness and mercy. And there's a grace for everything that we have, every weakness, every habit, there's a grace for it. And it's we need that grace in order to succeed. We need that grace.
Well, we have
to do our part. And what's our part? Well, first of all, we need to believe. And sometimes when you're in such a mess, it's hard to believe.
Well, sometimes and believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
sometimes people think things aren't going to get any better. They're just getting worse. It just keeps getting worse because you keep thinking that way. You know?
That's why you get up in the morning, just like I said earlier, and I look in the mirror and I say, today I choose to be happy. Because
today
if you're happy,
your life can end up better than it was when it started. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. The latter days of the house will be greater than the former. And that's what you got to believe, that it can change. You are loved and forgiven. All those sins were taken on at Jesus' death and at the cross. And God loves you. He forgives you. And the blood of Jesus purifies us and reconnects us back. And then we take the steps by renewing our mind, and then we get past this illusion in life. And, you know, whether we create it or somebody else creates, we can get drawn in by somebody else creating it.
Well, exactly. They can throw those negative thoughts in for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and bring that negative to you. That's why you have to constantly, you know, be mindful of the people that you bring in your life.
And what you connect yourself to.
Absolutely. I agree
so
wholeheartedly.
There have been several times that, you know, have you ever walked into a room or been with a person that when you were finished, you were just so tired? You know, these are energy vampires. It's like they suck the life out of you. And that's what being around this negative energy and having these negative thoughts do to your dreams. They take all the energy out.
That's true. And there, unfortunately, there are a lot of people who, I remember the early part of my ministry when I was taking some required subjects, and one of them was sociology. Well, they required that we had to spend so much time at these different things. So I was doing my time for the homeless. And we went out in these vans when we knew the weather was going to be a little bit chilly, and we'd pick people up off the street. And we would take them in so that they could have a hot shower and a hot meal, and of course we would pray have a service. Well, I went up to this one guy, and he looked up at me and he said, "Did it ever occur to you that I like the way I live?" And I stepped on, "By all means." By all means. They found him a week later with something like $100,000 sewed into his clothes. And some of it was growing into his skin.
Ooh.
Now, he chose to live that way. And this is what God gave us in the Old Testament. He told us. He gives us a choice. You can live, and he hopes you accept life. He hopes you accept life the way he wants you to live it, by connecting to him. But you have the right to choose the way you want to live. That's why we have no right to condemn anybody for their lifestyle. That's their choice, and they have the right to that God-given choice to live. If you want to be evil and live on the streets and hate people and drink yourself or dope yourself into oblivion, that's your choice. Are there others out here who might care about that person that's doing that, but you can't change them. They have to change their self. A man forced against his will be of the same mind still. It's not going to help. They have to want to. They have to want to. And they have to choose. And God's never going to force his life or his ways on you. He pleads with you. His hand is outstretched. He's done everything. Jesus finished it on the cross. We only need to access it. But you can't, you know, he won't break his own laws. He's not going to take away free will. So you have the right to your lifestyle, your choices. You have the right to your own choices and mistakes in life. That's your divine destiny. So if a person that doesn't want to dream and doesn't want to believe in anything good, there's nothing you can do about that. The only thing you can do is pray. Pray that something will, and God has his ways. He can show them. He reaches out in many, many ways. I've had him speak to me over the radio, over the TV, through other people, through little children. Through little children.
But you have to, before you can hear that message, you have to be able, you have to be ready to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It
receptive, yeah.
Well, and I tell my kids that the first thing you have to listen to is that, what is your gut telling you? Not what you want it to tell you. Okay, listen to, what does your gut say? Is this right or is it wrong? Your gut's always going to tell you. Well, your gut is the universe. Your gut is your conscience. Your gut is the core of who you are.
If we could just really see ourselves, see our spirit. Our spirit is perfect. And, you know, in your spirit, is that money you need? Is that victory you need? Is that right person you need? It's all in your spirit. So how do you access it? You access it by the renewing of your mind, by the Word of God. The Word of God is alive, and it's like a double edged. It'll cut away what's bad. But you got to want that. I mean, I wouldn't want somebody to love me because I forced them into loving me. I want them to love me because they love me. God's the same way. God wants to love you, wants you to love him because you love him, not because of what he can give you, what he can do for you, any of that. He wants you to love him for him. And we're the same way. I wouldn't want to be in a relationship where I was just cared for because I could do something for somebody that nobody else could do. Would you?
No.
Not me. No.
So we want to be loved for us. This package, the way it is, with its goods and its not so goods.
Well, it has its moments.
So, well, Mary Jo, looks like you're the only one that got called in here today. But
oh my God, that scared me. That scared me. I thought I was just listening. It's like, 334, and I'm going, I get a little shy.
I thought you had your hand up.
I didn't think I did. Perhaps it was all meant to be. I would guess it was meant to be.
Maybe it's just the way I read that switchboard. You know, like I said, you have to bear with us.
Not a problem. I think there is not a coincidence. I think God meant that to be, so here I am.
Well, God told me to do this show, and he told me that, again, it was for people that oppose themselves. And what I'd like for everybody to think about is, that, one, you can have your dream. Two, God is not mad at you, no matter what you've done. I don't care how bad it is, how horrendous or anything. He is not mad at you. But he wants you to accept in your heart responsibility for your part in it and forgive yourself and let it go. Quit living in that spirit of condemnation, which will keep you down. Remember, he's not mad about you. He's mad about you. He loves you. That phrase was coined by Pastor Gregory Dickow. I love his series in Renewing Your Mind and Fasting from Wrong Thinking. And he came out at a time when it's needed. God is strongly calling people in to the way of not the way religion has taught us, but in the way of renewing your mind and having a personal relationship with him. You know, God loves us, and there's nothing that he would hold back from you. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's abundant life. He would hold nothing back from you. You're not condemned. Well, we condemned ourselves. You know, Romans 8:1, that's my birth scripture, August 1st. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is an expression of strong disapproval that God approves of us. And I want people to know today that they can have their dream, and God has already done it. It's a finished work. We need to enter into the finished work that Christ did for us and enjoy the benefits that he died to give us, which is he was poor so that we could be rich. And remember, it is God that gives you the power to get riches. He died to give us freedom, release from bondage, all these things that hold us back. One of the biggest things is self-condemnation, and that comes from the spirit of God does not condemn. He forgives. His hands are reached out for mercy, and he wants us to have a relationship with him. And he wants to give you your dream.
Right.
Psalm 37.
I'm talking about your
heart.
Renewing our minds. Janet and I, we do that every day. We get into the Word. We renew our minds. We want to be in alignment with what God wants us to be, and we want to be pleasing to him. So having faith and getting into the Word, I feel that's very, very important each and every day.
Look how we've grown.
Yes.
We use Pastor Tickle's books, Thinking Forward, Fast from Wrong Thinking. We do those affirmations out of that. And there, you know, God will lead you to all these resources that I've gotten, and he's led me to. I realized, you know, this month was probably the most significant time, one of the greatest holy days, which is the atonement. And people say, well, isn't that religious ritual? No. Let me ask you, if it says in Scripture that at the right hand of God are pleasures that are far above the earth, far above anything that we can imagine. Now, don't you think that I personally would seek that right hand? I would like to have those pleasures. I'm a pleasure hound, although I've gotten much, much better but by renewing my mind. But I want those durable pleasures. So that's what you would seek after that, right? Seek after those pleasures.
Yes.
And they're far above the pleasures of the world. It can't be matched.
Not the fleeting pleasures of the world.
That's right. They come and go. Come and go.
Yes.
But we want to live a life that Jesus died for us for, that abundant life. And we do it by taking hold of making our spirit in charge. Let our spirit restore our soul. Let the two of them connect, and it'll bring the body in. People say, well, why am I praying? Why am I still sick?
Because you're concentrating on the fact that you're sick.
Thank you. Well, you should be stating affirmation. I am healed by the blood of stripes of Jesus. I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I am healed. You keep saying that. You're saying that, eventually you'll believe it, and eventually your subconscious mind will take off with it, and you will be healed. And it is a process. Like I said, instant healings are miracles, and those are for the unbelievers. Those people that you see healed on TV, some people say, well, it's all phony and everything, but there's too many of them that are walking testimonies. I personally have seen that myself in my ministry. We walked in for a lady, it was really cute. I had a blind minister with me, and she always wanted to serve God, but they told her she was with blemish. The Old Testament states you don't offer anything to God that is blemished. Well, that's a misinterpretation, but anyway, she got ordained in our church, and she was an extremely faithful devotee. We walked into this hospital. She prays over this woman. I'm praying with her. They got ready to take her to surgery the next day, and they wanted to take an x-ray to make sure that nothing's moved or if it had gotten any bigger, just to see, and there was nothing there. Nothing there.
Wow. You know, that
can happen. It did so much for her self-esteem, and it did so much for her to know that she wasn't blemished. See, she always thought she wasn't good enough.
But we're all blemished. We're all flawed.
Exactly. We're covered
by
the
blood. There's not a one of us that is not. What?
Exactly. That's why we're covered by the blood. The blood makes us right.
I was going to ask you guys if this was a point where we were going to argue about agreeing with each other.
No. No, that's not this point, no.
I'm like, okay, wait a minute, this is going the wrong way.
No, we can all get along.
I know, I say that all the time. Why can't we just all get along?
From Rodney King,
live
yes.
Rodney King, right, exactly.
Well, that's, we can't because we spend too much time judging each other.
Oh, yeah.
Judge yourself. And that's the only judge you need. Judge yourself and leave everybody else alone.
That's true.
Well, you know, that's that fault-finding thing, and it began in the garden. It started the process. Everything in the Bible shows you what can happen to you. There's mindsets in there. Okay, so they partook of the forbidden fruit, and then they went and hid themselves, and God's walking through the garden, and he goes, where are you? And then he discovered, why did you hide yourself, and who told you you were naked? And even though he knew that, he knew they were going to do that, he knew that from the beginning, that was part of his divine plan. But what happened? Adam responds with, well, the woman you made and gave to me, she gave it to me. And that's still the same today. We've got to blame other people without owning or taking responsibility for our own actions. So that's where that started. And then the curse began. And the Old Testament said that the woman will want to rule over the man will want to rule over the woman. That was never meant to be that way. Never meant, but that exists still to this day. And that's the curse. That's the curse that began. And then the shame and the guilt, the self-condemnation, they hid themselves. And that's what we go through today. You know, some people feel they can't even approach God for what they've done. If they'd only realize that Jesus took it on at the cross, you're forgiven, accept that. It doesn't give you a license to go out and do wrong, but you have to go through the process of receiving grace, and it's a growth period. You restore your soul, that's a process. You put your spirit in connection, and two of them together work on the body. in that body. And the two of them together will convince your five senses that this is all the truth.
Well, why do you think places like the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, they've now decided to work on all three parts of the body, mind, body, and spirit?
Because that's the wholeness.
Exactly.
Well, your mind, you know, your mind, your will, and your emotions is your soul, and your body is the last thing to come into subjection, into unity.
And I think that's wonderful, as in those cancer centers and whatnot that are realizing that we need the whole, as you said, body, mind, and spirit. And they are not saying just that. They are in conjunction with Western medicine. But Western medicine is now recognizing those things, or at least they're starting to.
Yeah, they're catching up. I'm proud of them.
I am,
well,
too.
Well, it's because of the mindset. They're also training these patients to think differently and to speak differently.
Mm-hmm. Not speak badly over themselves, speak only good.
Well,
you know, I'm well, I'm not this or I'm not that. All positive things.
Right. So, I
think that's wonderful.
It's about time.
Uh-huh.
I'm really, really proud to see this. I took Celine in, and they asked me what medication she was on. I said, she's not. And they go, oh, that's so wonderful. I said, oh, listen, it was a hard thing. You know, she was on Paxil for years, and believe me, it took a huge process to get a doctor to take her off of it because she was acting worse on it than she was. She is a lot calmer. I mean, I'm going to say that she doesn't have some issues like a, you know, monthly cycle time, PMS, but she is doing so much better. She is doing so much better. And they're saying, well, you know, we're learning not to hand out these medicines. And they're catching up, and I'm proud of them. Because if you look at the 10 top killers, number four on the list is pharmaceuticals.
Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, in the elderly and with some injury types and things like that, excuse me, patients will overdose and not mean to, you know, because they don't understand. And then sometimes it's just the pure abuse of the substance to start with, you know. And it's sad that as a country, we don't have a better handle on the abuse, but people who are going to abuse substances are going to find some kind of substance to abuse. But when you're looking at the healing aspect, like I said, there are patients out there who just mess up their medications. And the pharmaceutical companies aren't taking the time to research and trial these drugs before they put them out there for us to consume. You know, so that's why you have all the attorneys then going after all these lawsuits, because all these people and all these side effects and all this stuff happens. Now, I'm not coming down on any group involved in any of that or anybody being hurt from it. I'm just saying that if the FDA and the drug manufacturers took the time before they stuck this stuff out here for us to take, and if our doctors looked at more at a preventative kind of maintenance on us as opposed to, you know, their hurt, give them a pill, you know, then it might be different, but this is what we have. You know, we have to also use our minds to help heal us when we're sick, as opposed to the medications the doctors want to throw at us.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we're all a work in progress. We're down to about 10 minutes left, so I want to say a couple of things, like when I was talking about the atonement. That's when God does his calendar for the following year, and there's called a Book of Blessings. And when you show up to honor him, it's like we honor our children's birthdays or loved ones' birthdays, anniversaries, and all those things. Well, if we love God and we really love Him, we would do what would honor Him. And with that, your book, your name gets written in the Book of Blessings for the following year, because it's actually the on the Hebrew calendar, the New Year's. And there's 8 promises of blessings. One is increase, revelation, fresh anointing, God's power and grace, restoration, financial abundance, no shame deliverance, and God's presence. God's presence will heal everything. And for us to look out for people, there's a good sign when you see people. There are some people who always seem to be angry and continuously look for conflict. We need to walk away from that, because the battle they're fighting isn't with us, but it is within themselves. And we have to understand that when people strike out, it's because the battle is within them. We need to pray for them, exercise forgiveness, and be able to let things go. And Mary Jo, I thank you for calling in. I don't know why. One of the things was I was barely got those emails out. I should have included the call-in number like Marcia said. But, you know, with my little angels, they, I'm adjusting to this routine of there's 3 of them. With one needs something, then the next one needs something. So I'm adjusting to this new schedule, and I'm happy that I have them and that they're safe with me. And
you are a blessing from the things they've
lived with me forever.
I do not doubt that for a moment. Your stability,
no,
your love.
You, but I said, what if God wants me? And she goes, Abba, no, take Grandma.
God bless her.
I know, huh?
Little 3-year-old.
So
isn't that wonderful?
We thank you for calling in. We thank you for listeners that are out there. And we thank you and hope that this is a blessing to those who listen to it in the archives. And God bless you. And thank you for being allowing us to share these gems with you. You want to say anything, Marcia?
Well, I just hope everybody enjoys what we had to discuss, and I hope if they enjoy it next month, they'll have something to say or share with us, maybe one of their dreams or versus their reality, and hopefully they'll come on and share their stories with us.
May I say something?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Much love, light, and blessings to everyone.
Thank you, Mary Jo. I felt that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And we bless all of you. And, Lord, we ask you to give us the grace to empower each and every one of us to succeed in our spiritual walk with you and our physical walk upon this earth, to help us to enjoy life that Jesus died to give us, and we ask that you be with us until we see you again. We will schedule another show again at the end of the month, and so you can count on at least 1 month. And as soon as I get my little angels into school, maybe we can do shows more often. We thank everyone. We bless you. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was interesting, Marcia.